Well, Z, is that a nickname? And how on earth does he know that my last name is Wells? I never took. Ark. Damn sign up sheet. Garrett notices my surprised look and cocks his brows again. I learned a lot about you in study group. Got your number, your full name, even found out where you work. Congratulations, you really are a stalker. Nope, just thorough. I like to know what I'm up against. Jesus, Harold Christ. I'm not tutoring you, okay? Go bug somebody else. I point at the menu in front of him. Are you ordering? Because if not, then please go away and let me do my job in peace. Jesus, Harold Christ. Garrett snickers before picking up the laminated menu and giving it a cursory glance. I'll have a turkey club. He sets the menu down, then reaches for it again. And a bacon double cheeseburger. Just the burger, no fries. Actually, I changed my mind. Yes to the fries. Oh, and a side order of onion rings. My jaw almost hits the floor. You're seriously going to eat all that? He grins.
Of course. I'm a growing boy.
Boy? Nuh-uh. I'm only noticing it now, probably because I've been too distracted by how insufferable he is. But Garrett Graham is all man. There's nothing boyish about him. Not his chiseled good looks, or his tall frame, or that ripped chest of his, which suddenly flashes to mind as I remember the picture he sent me.
I'll also take a slice of that pecan pie and Dr. Pepper to drink. Oh, and some tutoring.
Not on the menu, I say cheerfully, but the rest is coming right up. Before he can argue, I abandon his booth and head to the back counter to place his order with Julio, our night cook. A nanosecond later, Lisa rushes over and addresses me in a hushed voice.
Oh my God, you know who that is, right?
Yep.
It's Garrett Graham.
I know, I answer dryly. That's why I said, yep. Lisa looks outraged.
What is wrong with you? Why aren't you freaking out right now? Garrett Graham is sitting in your booth. He talked to you.
Holy shit. He did? I mean, his lips were moving, but I didn't realize he was talking. I roll my eyes and walk over to the drink station to pour Garrett's drink. I don't look his way, but I can feel those smoky gray eyes following my every movement. He's probably sending telepathic orders for me to tutor him. Well, too bad for him. There's no way I'm wasting the little spare time I have on a college hockey player who thinks he's a rock star. Lisa trails after me, oblivious to my sarcasm and still gushing about Graham.
He's so gorgeous, like unbelievably gorgeous. Her voice lowers to a whisper. And I hear he's amazing in bed.
I snort. He probably started that rumor himself.
No, Samantha Richardson told me. She hooked up with him last year at the Theta Kegger. Said it was the best sex of her life.
I have no response, because I couldn't care less about the sex life of some girl I don't even know. Instead, I shrug and hold out the Dr. Pepper. You know what? Why don't you take his booth? The way Lisa gasps, you'd think I just handed her a check for $5 million.
Are you sure?
Yep. He's all yours.
Oh my God.
She takes a step forward as if she's going to hug me, but then her gaze darts to Garrett, and she appears to have second thoughts about broadcasting her terribly unwarranted joy.
I owe you so big for this, Han.
I want to tell her that she's actually doing me the favor, but she's already dashing toward the booth to wait on her prince. I watch in amusement as Garrett's expression clouds over at Lisa's approach. He picks up the glass she sets in front of him, then meets my gaze and slants his head, as if to say, you're not getting rid of me that easily. Garrett.
She's not getting rid of me that easily. Clearly, Hannah Wells hasn't been around many athletes. We're a stubborn lot, and the main thing we all have in common We never, ever give up. God help me, but I'm going to convince this girl to tutor me even if I die trying. But now that Hannah has dumped me off on the other waitress, it's a long while before I get another opportunity to plead my case. For the next 20 minutes, I endure the blatant flirting and undisguised interest of the curly-haired brunette who's serving me, but although I'm polite to her, I don't flirt back. The only person I'm interested in tonight is Hannah, and my gaze sticks to her like glue as she works the room. I wouldn't put it past her to make a run for it when I'm not looking. Her uniform is kind of hot, if I'm being honest. Powder blue dress with a white collar, big buttons down the front, and a short white apron around her waist. Looks like an outfit right out of Greece, which I guess makes sense considering Della's is a 50s-themed diner. I can easily picture Hannah Wells fitting in during that era. Her dark shoulder-length hair has a slight wave to it, and her bangs are pinned to the side with a blue barrette, giving the hairstyle an old-fashioned vibe. As I watch her work, I wonder what her story is. I asked around at study group, but nobody knew much about her. One guy told me she's from a small town in the Midwest. Someone else said she dated some guy in a band all through sophomore year. Other than those two meager details, she's a total mystery. "Can I get you anything else?" my waitress asks eagerly. She's looking at me like I'm a celebrity or some shit, but I'm used to the attention. Fact. When you're the captain of a Division I hockey team that's won two consecutive national titles, people know who you are, and women want to fuck you. "No thanks, just the bill, please." "Oh." Her disappointment is unmistakable. "Sure, coming right up." Before she can go, I voice a gruff question. "Do you know when Hannah's shift is over?" Her disappointed expression transforms into one of disbelief. "Why?" "She's in one of my classes. I wanted to talk to her about an assignment." The brunette's face relaxes, but a flicker of suspicion lingers in her eyes.
"She's off now, but she can't leave until her table does."
I glance over at the only other occupied table in the diner, where a middle-aged couple is sitting. The man has just pulled out his wallet, while his wife peers at the bill through her horn-rimmed glasses. I pay for my food, bid my waitress goodbye, then head outside to wait for Hannah. 5 minutes later, the older couple waltzes out of the diner. A minute after that, Hannah appears. But if she sees me lurking near the door, she doesn't let on. She simply buttons up her coat and takes off toward the side of the building. I waste no time hurrying after her. "Wellesley, wait up." She looks over her shoulder, frowning deeply.
"For the love of God, I'm not tutoring you."
"Sure you are," I shrug. "I just need to figure out what you want in return." Hannah whirls around like a dark-haired tornado.
"I want to not tutor you. That's what I want."
"All right. So, it's obvious you're not interested in money," I muse as if she hasn't spoken. "Has to be something else then." I mull it over for a beat. "Booze? Weed?"
"No, and no, and get lost."
She starts walking again, her white sneakers slapping the sidewalk as she marches toward the gravel lot at the side of the diner. She makes a beeline for the silver Toyota hatchback parked right next to my Jeep. "Okay, then. I guess you're not into party favors." I follow her to the driver's side, but she completely ignores me as she unlocks the door and tosses her purse into the passenger seat. "How about a date?" I offer. That gets her attention. She straightens up like someone shoved a metal rod up her spine, then swivels her head in astonishment.
"What?"
I've got your attention."
"No, you've got my disgust. You actually think I want to go out with you?"
"Everyone wants to go out with me." She bursts out laughing. Maybe I should feel insulted by the response, but I like the sound of her laughter. It's got a musical quality to it, a husky pitch that tickles my ears.
"Just out of curiosity," she says. "After you wake up in the morning, do you admire yourself in the mirror for 1 hour or two?"
"Two," I reply cheerfully.
"Do you high-five yourself?"
"Of course not," I smirk. I kiss each of my biceps and then point to the ceiling and thank the big man upstairs for creating such a perfect male specimen. She snorts. Uh-huh. Well, sorry to burst your bubble, Mr. Perfect, but I'm not interested in dating you. I think you're misunderstanding, Wellesley. I'm not looking to make a love connection with you. I know you're not into me. If it makes you feel better, I'm not into you either. That does make me feel better. I was starting to worry I might actually be your type, and that's too terrifying to even contemplate. When she tries to duck into the car, I curl my fingers over the doorframe to keep it open. I'm talking about image, I clarify. Image, she echoes. Yeah, do you think you'd be the first girl who went out with me to boost her popularity? Happens all the time. Hannah laughs again. I'm perfectly content with my current rung on the social ladder, but thanks so much for offering to boost my popularity. You're a prince, Garrett, really. Frustration scrambles up my throat. What'll it take to change your mind? Nothing. You're wasting your time. She shakes her head, looking as frustrated as I feel. You know, if you take all the effort you're using to harass me and channel it to your studies, you'd get an A++++ on that midterm. She shoves my hand out of the way, slides into the driver's seat, and shuts the door. A second later, the engine roars to life, and I'm pretty sure that if I hadn't stepped back in time, she would have run right over my foot. I wonder if Hannah Wells was an athlete in another life, because she is one stubborn woman. Sighing, I stare at her blinking red taillights and try to figure out my next move. Absolutely nothing comes to mind. Chapter 5. Hannah. Allie stays true to her word. It's 20 minutes into the party, and she's yet to leave my side, despite the fact that her boyfriend has been begging her to dance with him since the second we arrived. I feel like a jackass. Okay, this is ridiculous. Go dance with Sean already. I have to shout in order to be heard over the music, which, shockingly enough, is pretty decent. I expected shitty dance beats or vulgar hip-hop, but whoever's manning the stereo system seems to have an affinity for indie rock and Brit punk. Nah, it's fine, Allie shouts back. I'll just chill here with you. Right, because lurking against the wall like a creeper and watching me cling to the bottle of Evian I brought from the dorm is way more fun than spending time with her boyfriend. The living room is teeming with people. Frat brothers and sorority sisters galore. But tonight, there's a lot more variety than you usually find at a Greek event. I spot several drama majors near the pool table, a few girls from the field hockey team chatting by the fireplace, a group of guys that I'm pretty sure are freshmen standing at the built-in bar. All the furniture has been pushed against the wood-paneled walls to create a makeshift dance floor in the center of the room. Everywhere I look, I see people dancing and laughing and shooting the shit. And poor Allie is stuck to me like Velcro, unable to enjoy a second of the party she wanted to go to. Go, I urge her. Really, you haven't seen Sean since midterm started. You deserve to spend some quality time with your man. She hesitates. I'll be fine. Katie and Shauna are right over there. I'll hang out with them for a bit. Are you sure? Positive. I came here to socialize, remember? Grinning, I give her a tiny smack on the butt. Get out of here, babe. She grins back and starts to walk away, then holds up her iPhone and waves it in the air. SOS, if you need me, she calls out. And don't leave without telling me. The music drowns out my response, but she catches my nod before she hurries off. I see her blonde head weaving through the crowd, and then she's at Sean's side, and he's happily dragging her into the throng of dancers. See? I can be a good friend, too. Except now I'm all alone, and the two girls I was planning on latching onto are chatting with two very cute guys. I don't want to interrupt the flirt fest, so I search the crowd for anyone else I might know. Even Cass would be a sight for sore eyes at this point.
but I don't spot any familiar faces. Stifling a sigh, I hunker down in my little corner and spend the next few minutes people watching. When several guys glance my way with unabashed interest, I have to curse myself for allowing Allie to choose my outfit tonight. My dress isn't indecent by any means, just a knee-length green shift with a modest neckline, but it hugs my curves more tightly than I'm comfortable with, and the black heels I paired it with make my legs look a lot longer than they actually are. I didn't put up an argument about the outfit because I'd wanted to catch Justin's eye, but in my eagerness to make it on his radar, I didn't think about all the other radars I might appear on, and the attention I'm getting makes me nervous. Hey. I turn my head as a cute guy with wavy brown hair and light blue eyes sidles up to me. He's wearing a polo shirt and holding a red plastic cup in his hand, and he's smiling at me as if we know each other. Hey, I answer. When he notices my quizzical expression, his smile widens. I'm Jimmy. We have British Lit together? Oh, right. I honestly don't remember seeing him before, but there are about 200 students in that class, so all the faces blur into each other after a while. You're Hannah, right? I nod, shifting in discomfort, because his gaze is already lowered to my chest a dozen times in the 5 seconds we've been talking. Jimmy pauses as if he's trying to think of something else to say. I can't think of anything either because I suck at small talk. If he was someone I was interested in, I'd ask him about his classes or if he has a job or what kind of music he's into, but the only guy I care about at the moment is Justin, and he still hasn't shown up. The fact that I'm searching the crowd for him makes me feel like a total loser. Truth be told, Allie's not the only one wondering what my deal is. I'm wondering too. Because seriously, why am I so obsessed with this guy? He doesn't know I exist. And he's a jock, to boot. I may as well be interested in Garrett Graham for fuck's sake. At least he offered to go out with me. And what do you know? The second I think about Garrett, the devil himself enters the room. I didn't expect to see him tonight, and I immediately duck my head so he doesn't spot me. Maybe if I concentrate hard enough, I'll chameleon into the wall behind me and he won't know I'm here. Luckily, Garrett is oblivious to my presence. He stops to talk to a couple of guys, then saunters toward the bar on the other side of the room where he's immediately swarmed by half a dozen girls who bat their eyelashes and thrust their boobs out to get his attention. Beside me, Jimmy rolls his eyes. Sheesh, the big man on campus routine gets old, huh? I realize he's looking at Garrett too, and the disgust on his face is unmistakable. You're not a fan of Graham's? I say dryly. You want the truth or the house line? House line? He's a member of this frat, Jimmy explains. So technically, that makes us brothers. He air quotes the word. And a Sigma man loves all his brothers. I have to grin. Okay, so that's the house line. What's the truth? The music swells, so he leans in closer. His lips are centimeters from my ear as he confides. Can't stand the guy. His ego's bigger than this house. Look at that. I've met a kindred spirit. Another person who's not a card-carrying member of Team Garrett. Except the conspiratorial smile I give him is clearly taken the wrong way, because Jimmy's eyes go heavy-lidded. So, wanna dance? He drawls. I don't. At all. But just as I open my mouth to say no, I glimpse a flash of black from the corner of my eye. Garrett's black t-shirt. Crap! He spotted me and now he's heading our way. Judging by his determined stride, he's ready to do battle with me again. Sure, I blurt out, eagerly grabbing Jimmy's hand. Let's dance! A slow smile spreads across his mouth. Uh-oh, maybe I sounded a bit too eager there. But it's too late to change my mind, because he's leading me toward the dance floor. And just my luck, the song changes the second we get there. The Ramones have been replaced by a Lady Gaga track. Not a fast one either, but the slow version of Poker Face. Great. Jimmy plants both his hands on my hips. After a beat, I reluctantly hold on to his shoulders and we begin to sway to the music.
It's awkward as hell, but at least I managed to evade Garrett, who is now regarding us with a frown, his hands hooked in the belt loops of his faded blue jeans. When our gazes meet, I shoot him a half-smile and a what-can-you-do look, and he immediately narrows his eyes, as if he knows I'm dancing with Jimmy just so I don't have to talk to him. Then, a pretty blonde touches his arm, and he breaks the eye contact. Jimmy twists his head to see who I'm looking at.
You know Garrett?
He sounds more than a little wary. I shrug. He's in one of my classes.
Are you friends?
Nope.
Good to hear.
Garrett and the blonde duck out of the room just then, and I mentally pat myself on the back for my successful evasion tactics. Does he live here with you guys? God, this song is taking forever, but I'm trying to make conversation because I feel like I have to finish out the dance after being so enthusiastic about it.
No, thank fuck,
Jimmy answers. He's got a house off campus. He's always bragging about it, but I bet you his father pays his rent. I wrinkle my forehead. Why do you say that? Is his family rich or something? Jimmy looks surprised.
You don't know who his dad is?
No. Should I?
It's Phil Graham.
When the groove in my forehead deepens, Jimmy elaborates.
Forward for the New York Rangers, 2-time Stanley Cup champ, hockey legend.
The one hockey team I know anything about is the Chicago Blackhawks, and that's only because my dad is a rabid fan and makes me watch the games with him. Ergo, I have zero knowledge of a man who played for the Rangers, what, 20 years ago? But I'm not surprised to hear that Garrett hails from hockey royalty. He's got that superior sense of entitlement down pat. I wonder why Garrett didn't go to college in New York then, I say politely.
Graham Sr. finished out his career in Boston,
Jimmy explains.
I guess the family decided to stay in Massachusetts after he retired.
The song blessedly comes to an end, and I hastily excuse myself by pretending I need to use the washroom. Jimmy makes me promise to dance with him again, then winks and wanders off toward the beer pong table. Since I don't want him to know I lied about the bathroom, I follow through on the pee charade by leaving the living room to loiter in the front parlor for a bit, which is where Allie finds me a few minutes later. Hey, are you having a good time? Her eyes are bright and her cheeks are flushed, but I know she hasn't been drinking. She promised to stay sober, and Allie never breaks her promises. Yeah, I guess. I think I'm taking off soon, though. Oh, no, you can't go yet. I just saw you dancing with Jim Paulson. You look like you were having fun.
Really? I guess I'm a much better actress than I thought.
He's cute, she adds with a meaningful look. Nah, he's not my type. Too preppy. Well, I know someone who is your type. Allie wiggles her eyebrows before lowering her voice to a teasing whisper. And don't turn around. But he just walked through the door. My heart takes off like a kite in a windstorm. Don't turn around? Don't people realize that saying that is guaranteed to make someone do the exact opposite? I swivel my head toward the front door, then swivel it right back because, oh my God, she's right. Justin has finally shown up. And since the glimpse I stole was far too fleeting, I rely on Allie to fill in the blanks. Is he alone? I murmur. He's with a few of his teammates, she murmurs back. None of them brought dates, though. I do my best impression of a person who's just talking to a friend and is in no way crushing on the guy standing 10 feet away. And it works, because Justin and his buddies walk right past Allie and me, their loud laughter quickly swallowed up by a swell of music. You're blushing, she teases. I know, I groan softly. Fuck, this crush is so stupid, eh? Why are you letting me embarrass myself like this? Because I don't think it's stupid at all, and it's not embarrassing. It's healthy. She grabs my arm and proceeds to drag me back to the living room. The stereo volume is lower now, but animated chatter continues to buzz through the room. Seriously, Han, you're young and beautiful, and I want you to fall in love. I don't care who it's with, as long as... Why is Garrett Graham staring at you? I follow her startled gaze and smother another groan when Garrett's gray eyes lock onto mine. "Because he's stalking me," I grumble. Her eyebrows soar. "For real?"
"Pretty much, yeah. He's failing ethics, and he knows I did well on the midterm, so now he's demanding I tutor him. The guy can't take no for an answer."
She snickers. "I think you might be the only girl who's ever turned him down. If only the rest of the female population was as smart as I am."
I gaze past Allie's shoulder and scan the room for Justin, and my pulse speeds up when I spot him by the pool table. He's wearing black pants and a gray cable knit sweater, and his hair is messy, falling onto his strong forehead.
God, I love that just rolled out of bed look he has going on. He's not all gelled up like his buddies, nor is he wearing his football jacket like the rest of them.
"Allie, get your cute ass over here," Sean shouts from the ping pong table. "I need my pong partner."
A pretty blush blooms on her cheeks.
"Wanna watch us kick some beer pong butt?"
"Minus the beer," she adds quickly. "Sean knows I'm not drinking tonight." I'm hit with another jolt of guilt.
"That's no fun," I say lightly.
"You've got to have the beer to play the pong."
She firmly shakes her head.
"I promised you I wouldn't drink."
"And I'm not planning on sticking around for much longer," I counter.
"So there's no reason for you not to get your buzz on."
"But I want you to stay," she protests.
"How about this? I'll stay for another half hour, but only if you allow yourself to have some actual fun. I know we made a deal in freshman year, but I'm not holding you to it anymore, eh?"
I mean every word, because I really do hate that she has to babysit me every time we go out. It's not fair to her. And after 2 years at Briar, I know it's time for me to lower my guard, at least a little bit.
"Come on. I want to see you show off those mad beer pong skills."
I link my arm through hers, and she laughs as I drag her over to Sean and his friends.
"Hannah," Sean says in delight, "you playing?"
"Nope," I reply, "just cheering on my bestie." Allie joins Sean at one end of the table, and for the next 10 minutes, I watch the most intense beer pong match on the planet unfold. But the entire time, I'm wholly aware of Justin, who's chatting with his teammates across the room. Eventually, I wander off because I finally do need to use the restroom. There's one on the main floor near the kitchen, but the line is crazy long and it's ages before I get a turn. I quickly do my business, then walk out of the bathroom and slam into a hard male chest.
"You should really watch where you're going,"
a husky voice remarks. My heart stops. Justin's dark eyes twinkle with humor as he places his hand on my arm to steady me. The moment he touches me, heat sears my flesh and unleashes a flurry of goosebumps.
"Sorry," I stammer.
"No worries."
Smiling, he pats his chest down.
"I'm still in one piece."
I suddenly notice there's no one waiting to use the washroom anymore. It's just Justin and me in the hallway. And God, he's even better looking close up. He's also much taller than I realized. I have to tilt my head to meet his eyes.
"You're in ethics with me, aren't you?"
he asks in that deep, sexy voice of his.
I nod.
"I'm Justin."
He introduces himself as if there might actually be someone at Briar who doesn't know his name. But I find his modesty is adorable.
"I'm Hannah."
"How'd you do on the midterm?"
"I got an A," I admit. "You?"
"B minus."
I can't hide my surprise.
"Really?
I guess we're the lucky ones then. Everyone else bombed it."
"I think it makes us smart, not lucky."
His grin makes me melt. Seriously, I'm a puddle of goo on the floor, unable to look away from those magnetic dark eyes. And he smells fantastic, like soap and lemony aftershave. Would it be inappropriate if I pressed my face in his neck and inhaled him?
Yeah, it would.
So, I try to think of something clever or interesting to say, but I'm too nervous to be witty at the moment. You play football, huh? He nods.
Wide receiver. Are you a fan? A dimple appears in his chin.
Of the game, I mean?
I'm not, but I suppose I could lie and pretend to like his sport, except that's a risky move because then he might try to talk shop with me, and I don't know enough about football to carry a whole conversation about it.
Not really, I confess with a sigh. I've seen a game or two, but honestly, it's too slow for my liking. Seems like you guys play for 5 seconds, and then someone blows a whistle and you stand around for hours before the next play starts.
Justin laughs. He's got a great laugh. Low and husky, and I feel it right down to my toes.
Yeah, I've heard that complaint before. It's different when you're playing it, though. A lot more intense than you'd think. And if you're invested in a team or certain players, you pick up the rules a lot faster.
He slants his head.
You should come to one of our games. I bet you'd have fun.
Holy shit. He's inviting me to one of his games?
Yeah. Maybe I will.
Cole!
A loud voice interrupts.
We're up.
We both turn as a blonde behemoth pokes his head out of the living room doorway. It's one of Justin's teammates, and he's wearing a look of extreme impatience.
Coming,
Justin calls back, then gives me a rueful smile as he takes a step toward the bathroom.
Big Joe and I are about to kick some ass in pool, but I've got to hit the can first. Talk later?
Sure.
I keep my tone casual, but there's nothing casual about the way my heart is racing. As Justin shuts the door behind him, I hurry back to the living room on shaky legs. I'm dying to tell Allie about what just happened, but I don't get the chance. The second I walk into the room, 6'2" and 200 pounds of Garrett Graham block my path.
Wowzie, he says cheerfully. You're the last person I expected to see here tonight.
As usual, his presence causes my guard to snap into place.
Yeah? Why's that?
He shrugs.
I didn't think frat parties were your scene.
Well, you don't know me, remember? Maybe I'm partying it up on Greek Row every night.
Liar. I would have seen you here before.
He crosses his arms over his chest, a pose that causes his biceps to flex. I glimpse the bottom of a tattoo peeking out from his sleeve, but I can't tell what it is, only that it's black and looks intricate. Flames, maybe?
So, about this tutoring thing. I thought we should take a moment to set up a schedule.
Aggravation shoots up my spine. You don't give up, do you?
Never.
Then you need to start, because I'm not tutoring you. I'm distracted now. Justin has re-entered the room, his long, lithe body moving through the crowd as he makes his way to the pool table. He's halfway there when a pretty brunette intercepts him. To my dismay, he stops to talk to her.
Come on, Wellesley, help a guy out,
Garrett begs. Justin laughs at something the girl says, same way he was laughing with me a minute ago. And when she touches his arm and leans in close, he doesn't back away.
Look, if you don't want to commit to the whole semester, at least help me pass this midterm. I'll owe you one.
I'm no longer paying Garrett even a lick of attention. Justin leans in to whisper in the girl's ear. She giggles, her cheeks turn a rosy shade of pink, and my heart plummets to the pit of my stomach. I was so sure we'd been, I don't know, connecting. But now he's flirting with someone else?
You're not even listening to me,
Garrett accuses. Who are you looking at anyway? I tear my eyes off Justin and the brunette, but not fast enough. Garrett grins when he notices where my gaze was.
Which one?
He demands.
Which one what?
He cocks his head at Justin, then shifts it 5 feet to the right where I notice Jimmy talking to one of his frat brothers.
Paulson or Cole? Which one do you want to bone?
Bone?
He has my attention again.
Ugh! Who says stuff like that?
Fine. Should I rephrase? Which one do you want to fuck or screw or drill or make love to, if that's your thing?
I set my jaw. This guy is such an asshole.
When I don't answer, he answers for me.
Cole,
he decides. I saw you dancing with Paulson earlier, and you definitely weren't making googly eyes at him.
I don't confirm or deny it. Instead, I take a step away. Have a good night, Garrett.
I hate to break it to you, but it ain't gonna happen, Wellesley. You're not his type.
Anger and embarrassment flood my belly. Wow, had he really just said that? Thanks for the tip, I say coolly. Now, if you'll excuse me. He tries reaching for my arm, but I bulldoze past him and leave him in my proverbial dust. I do a quick search of the room for Allie, halting in my tracks when I spot her making out with Sean on the couch. I don't want to interrupt them, so I spin on my heel and head toward the front door instead. My fingers are shaky as I text Allie to let her know I'm taking off. Garrett's blunt assertion,
"You're not his type,"
echoes in my mind like a depressing mantra. Truth is, it's exactly what I needed to hear. So what if Justin spoke to me in the hallway? Obviously it meant nothing, because in the next breath, he turned around and flirted with someone else. It's time for me to face reality. It's not going to happen with me and Justin, no matter how badly I want it to. It was stupid of me to come here tonight. Waves of embarrassment course through me as I leave the Sigma house and step into the cool night breeze. I regret not bringing a coat, but I hadn't wanted to carry it around all night, and I figured I could deal with the October chill for the 5-second walk from the cab to the front door. Allie messages back as I step onto the porch, offering to come outside and keep me company until the taxi arrives, but I order her to stay with her boyfriend. Then I pull up the number for the campus taxi service, and I'm just about to dial when I hear my name, a maddening variation of it, that is.
Wellesley, wait up.
I take the porch steps 2 at a time, but Garrett is a lot taller than me, which means his stride is longer, and he catches up to me in no time.
Come on, wait.
His hand latches onto my shoulder. I shrug it off and turn to glare at him.
What? You're in the mood to insult me some more?
I wasn't trying to insult you, he protests. I was just stating a fact.
That stings.
Gee, thanks.
Fuck.
He looks frustrated.
I insulted you again. I didn't mean to do that. I'm not trying to be a dick, okay?
Of course, you're not trying. You just are.
He has the nerve to grin, but his humor fades fast.
Look, I know the guy, all right? Cole's friends with one of my roommates, so he's been over at my place a few times.
Goody for you. You can date him then, because I'm not interested.
Yes, you are.
He sounds very sure of himself, and I hate him for that.
All I'm saying is, Cole has a type.
All right, I'll humor you. What's his type, then?
And not because I'm interested in him or anything, I add hastily. He smiles knowingly.
Uh-huh. Of course you're not.
Then he shrugs.
He's been at this college for, what, almost 2 months? So far, I've seen him hook up with 1 cheerleader and 2 members of Kappa Beta. Know what that tells me?
No, but it tells me that you spend way too much time keeping track of who other dudes are dating.
He ignores the barb.
It tells me Cole is interested in chicks with a certain social status.
I roll my eyes. If this is another offer to make me popular, I'm gonna have to pass.
Hey, if you want to get Cole's attention, you've got to do something drastic.
He pauses.
So, yes, I'm re-offering to go out with you.
I repass. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to call a cab.
No, you don't.
My phone had gone idle, so I quickly type in my password to unlock it.
Seriously, don't bother,
Garrett says.
I can drive you home.
I don't need a ride.
That's what cabs do. They give you rides.
I don't need a ride from you, I amend.
You'd rather pay $10 to get home instead of accepting a free ride from me?
His sarcastic remark is right on target because, yes, I most certainly trust a campus-employed cabbie to drive me home more than I trust Garrett Graham to do it. I don't get into cars with strangers, period. Garrett's eyes narrow as if he's read my mind.
I'm not going to try anything, Wellesley. It's just a ride home.
Go back to the party, Garrett. Your frat brothers are probably wondering where you are.
Trust me, they don't give a shit where I am. They're only interested in finding a tipsy chick to stick their dicks in.
I gag. God, you are disgusting. You know that?
Nope. Just honest. Besides, it's not like I said I'm looking to do that. I don't need to get a woman drunk for her to sleep with me. They come to me sober and willing.
Congratulations, I yelp when he snatches the phone out of my hand. Hey!
To my amazement, he turns the camera toward his face and snaps a picture.
What are you doing?
There, he says, handing the phone back. Feel free to text that sexy face to your entire contact list and inform them I'm driving you home. That way, if you show up dead tomorrow morning, everyone will know who did it. And if you want, you can keep your finger on the emergency call button the whole time in case you need to call the cops.
He heaves out an exasperated breath.
Can I please take you home now?
Although I'm not excited about standing outside alone and coatless to wait for the taxi, I still put up one last protest. How much have you had to drink?
Half a beer.
I raise my eyebrows.
My limit is one.
He insists.
I've got practice tomorrow morning.
My resistance crumbles at his earnest expression. I've heard a lot of rumors about Garrett, but none involving alcohol or drugs, and the campus cab service is notorious for taking its sweet-ass time, so really, it won't kill me to spend 5 minutes in a car with a guy. I can easily give him the silent treatment if he annoys me. Or rather, when he annoys me. All right, I concede. You can take me home. But this doesn't mean I'm tutoring you. His smile is the epitome of smug.
We'll discuss it in the car.
Chapter 6. Garrett.
Hannah Wells is into a football player. I can't wrap my head around it, but I've already offended her once tonight, so I know I have to tread carefully if I'm going to win her over. I wait until we're in my Jeep and buckled up before I voice the cautious question. So, how long have you wanted to make love to Cole? She doesn't answer, but I can feel her death glare boring into the side of my face.
Has to be a fairly recent thing since he just transferred 2 months ago.
I purse my lips. Okay, let's assume it's been a month. No answer. I glance over and see that she's glowering even harder now, but even with that forbidding expression, she still looks hot. She's got one of the most interesting faces I've ever seen. Her cheeks are a little too round, her mouth a little too pouty, but combined with her smooth olive skin, vivid green eyes, and the tiny beauty mark over her top lip, she looks almost exotic. And that body, man, now that I've noticed it, I can't unnotice it. But I remind myself that I'm not driving her home in the hopes of scoring. I need Hannah too much to screw it up by sleeping with her. After practice today, Coach pulled me aside and gave me a 10-minute lecture about the importance of keeping my grades up. Well, lecture is too generous a description. His exact words had been, "Maintain your average, or I'll shove my foot so far up your ass you'll be able to taste my shoe polish in your mouth for years to come." Like the smartass I am, I asked if people actually still use shoe polish, and he responded with a string of colorful expletives before storming off. I'm not exaggerating when I say that hockey is my entire life, but I guess that's bound to happen when your father is a fucking superstar. The old man had my future planned out when I was still in the womb. Learn to skate, learn to shoot, make it to the pros, the end. Phil Graham has a reputation to uphold, after all. I mean, just think about how badly it'd reflect on him if his only son didn't grow up to be a professional hockey player. Yes, that's sarcasm you're detecting. And here's a confession. I hate my father. No, I despise him. The irony is, the bastard thinks everything I've done has been for him. The intense training, the full body bruises, killing myself 20 hours a week in order to better my game. He's arrogant enough to believe that I put myself through all that for him. But he's wrong. I do it for me. And to a lesser extent, I do it to beat him, to be better than him. Don't get me wrong, I love the game. I live for the roar of the crowd, the crisp air chilling my face as I hurtle down the ice, the hiss of the puck as I release a slap shot that lights the lamp. Hockey is adrenaline. It's excitement. It's soothing, even. I look at Hannah again, wondering what it'll take to persuade her. And it suddenly occurs to me I've been thinking about this Cole thing the wrong way. Because, yeah, I don't think she's his type. But how is he hers? Cole plays it off like he's the strong, silent type. But I've hung out with him enough times to see through the act. He uses that man of mystery bullshit to draw girls in, and once they bite, he turns on the charm and lures them right into his pants. So why the hell is a level-headed girl like Hannah Wells salivating over a big shot like Cole? Is this just a physical thing, or do you actually want to date him? I ask curiously. Her exasperated sigh echoes in the car. Can we please not talk about this? I flick the right turn signal and drive away from Greek Row, heading for the road that leads back to campus. I was wrong about you, I tell her in a frank tone. What's that supposed to mean? It means I thought you were up front. Ballsy. Not someone who's too much of a pussy to admit she's into a guy. I hide a grin when I see her jaw harden. I'm not surprised that I hit a nerve. I'm pretty good at reading people. And I know without a shred of doubt that Hannah Wells isn't the kind of woman who backs down from a challenge, not even a veiled one. Fine. You win. She sounds like she's speaking through clenched teeth. Maybe I'm into him. A teeny tiny bit. My grin breaks free. Gee, was that so hard? I ease my foot off the gas as we approach a stop sign. Why haven't you asked him out then? Alarm ripples through her voice. Why would I do that? Because you just said you're into him? I don't even know him. How else are you going to get to know him if you don't ask him out? She shifts in her seat, looking so uncomfortable I can't help but laugh. You're scared, I tease her, unable to keep the delight out of my voice. I am not, she says instantly. Then she pauses. Well, maybe a little. He makes me nervous, okay? It takes some effort to mask my surprise. I hadn't expected her to be so honest, I guess. And the vulnerability she's radiating is slightly unsettling. I haven't known her long, but I've gotten used to her sarcasm and confidence. The uncertainty on her face seems out of place. So you're going to wait around for him to ask you? She scowls at me. Let me guess, you think he won't? I know he won't. I give a little shrug. Men are all about the chase, Wellesley. You're making it too easy for him. Hardly, she says dryly, considering I haven't even told him I'm interested. Oh, he knows. That startles her. No, he doesn't. A man always knows when a woman wants him. Believe me, you don't have to say it out loud for him to pick up on the vibes you're sending out. I grin. Hell, it only took 5 seconds for me to figure it out. And you think if I go out with you, he'll magically be interested in me? She sounds skeptical, but no longer hostile, which is a promising sign. It'll definitely help your cause. You know what intrigues guys even more than the chase? I can't wait to hear it. A woman who's out of reach. People want what they can't have. I can't help but smirk. Case in point, you wanting Cole. Uh-huh. Well, if I can't have him, then why bother going on a date with you? You can't have him now. Doesn't mean you'll never have him. I reach another stop sign, and I'm annoyed to see that we're almost back at campus. Shit. I need more time to persuade her, so I drive a bit slower, and hope she doesn't notice I'm going 10 under the limit. Trust me, Wellesley. If you show up on my arm, he'll notice. I pause, pretending to think it over. Tell you what, there's this party next Saturday, and Loverboy will be there.
One, don't call him that. And two, how do you know where he'll be?
She says suspiciously. Because it's Beau Maxwell's birthday bash. You know, the quarterback? The whole team will be there. I shrug. And so will we.
Mm-hmm. And what happens when we get there?
She's playing it off as casual, but I know I've got her exactly where I want her. We mingle, have a few beers. I'll introduce you around as my date. Chicks will want to murder you. Guys will wonder who you are and why you haven't been on their radars before.
Cole will wonder too, but we're going to ignore him.
And why would we do that?
Because it'll drive him crazy. Make you seem even more unattainable. She bites her lip. I wonder if she knows how easy it is to read her emotions. Annoyance, anger, embarrassment. Her eyes reveal everything, and it fascinates me. I work so hard to mask what I'm feeling, a lesson I learned from childhood. But Hannah's face is an open book. It's kind of refreshing.
You have a lot of confidence in yourself, she finally remarks. Do you honestly think you're such hot shit that the mere act of going to a party with you will turn me into a celebrity?
Yes. I'm not being arrogant, just truthful. After 2 years at this school, I know the kind of cred I have. Though honestly, sometimes I don't feel half as cool as people think I am, and I'm pretty sure that if any of them took the time to actually get to know me, they'd probably change their opinion. It's like that pond I skated on when I was a kid. From a distance, the ice looked so shiny and smooth until you got close enough to it, and suddenly all the uneven edges and crisscrossed skate marks became visible. That's me, I guess, covered with skate marks that nobody ever seems to notice. And geez, clearly I'm feeling way too philosophical tonight. Next to me, Hannah has gone quiet, chewing on her lip as she considers my proposal. For a split second, I almost tell her to forget it. It seems wrong that this girl cares what a douche like Cole thinks about her. Hannah's intelligence and razor-sharp tongue is wasted on a guy like that. But then I think of my team and all the guys that are counting on me, and I force myself to ignore my misgivings. Think about it, I coax. The makeup is next Friday, which gives us a week and a half to study. I'll write the exam, and then on Saturday night we'll go to Maxwell's party and show Loverboy how sexy and desirable you are. He won't be able to resist, trust me.
One, don't call him that. Two, stop telling me to trust you. I don't even know you.
But despite the grumbling, I can see her capitulating.
Look, I can't commit to tutoring you for the whole semester. I honestly don't have time.
It'll just be this week. I promise. She hesitates. I don't blame her for doubting me. Truth is, I'm already thinking of how I can convince her to hold my hand for the duration of Tolbert's course, but one battle at a time. So do we have a deal? I prompt. Hannah stays quiet, but just when I've given up hope, she sighs and says,
"All right, we've got a deal."
Hot damn. A part of me is genuinely shocked that I managed to wear her down. I've been badgering her for what feels like an eternity, and now that I've won, it's almost like experiencing a sense of loss. Figure that out. Nevertheless, I give myself a mental high five as I drive into the lot behind the dormitories. "What dorm are you in?" I ask as I put the Jeep in park.
"Bristol House."
"I'll walk you in."
I start to unbuckle my seatbelt, but she shakes her head. "It's fine. I don't need a bodyguard."
She holds up her phone.
"All prep to dial 911, remember?"
A short silence falls over us.
"Well?"
I stick out my hand. "It was a pleasure doing business with you."
She stares at my hand like I'm a carrier for Ebola.
I roll my eyes and withdraw the gesture.
"I work until 8 tomorrow," she says. "We can meet up when I'm done. You don't live in the dorms, right?"
"No, but I can come to you. She blanches as if I've offered to shave her head.
And have people think we're friends? No way. Text me your address. I'll come to your place.
I've never met anyone who's so repulsed by my popularity, and I have no idea what to make of it. I think I might like it.
You'll be the most popular girl on your floor if I came over, you know.
Text me your address, she says firmly.
Yes, ma'am.
I beam at her. I'll see you tomorrow night. All I get in return is a sour look and a flash of her profile as she turns to open her door. She hops out of the car without a word, then reluctantly taps on the passenger window. Stifling a grin, I press the button to roll down the window.
Forget something? I mock.
Thank you for the ride, she says primly.
And then she's gone, her green dress fluttering in the night breeze as she hurries toward the darkened buildings.
Chapter 7. Hannah. Normally, I pride myself on having a good head on my shoulders and making sound decisions, but agreeing to tutor Garrett? Stupider than stupid. I'm still cursing myself for it as I make the drive over to his house the following evening. When he cornered me at the Sigma party, I had every intention of telling him to fuck off and leave me alone, and then he dangled Justin under my nose like a carrot, and I caved like a cheap tent. Great, and now I'm mixing metaphors. I think it might be time for me to face a grim truth. I have zero common sense when it comes to Justin Cole. Last night, I left the party with a sole purpose of forgetting about him, and instead of doing that, I allowed Garrett Graham to fill me with the most destructive emotion known to mankind, hope. Hope that Justin might notice me. Hope that he might want me. Hope that I might have finally met someone who can make me feel something. It's embarrassing how besotted I am with a guy. I parked my borrowed car in the driveway behind Garrett's Jeep and next to a shiny black pickup, but I leave the engine running. I keep wondering what my old therapist would think if she knew about the deal I'd struck with Garrett. I want to say she'd be against it, but Carol was all about empowerment. She always encouraged me to take control of my life and grab hold of any opportunity that allows me to put the attack behind me. So here's what I know. I've dated two guys since the rape. I slept with both of them, and neither of them made me feel as hot and achy as Justin Cole does with one heavy-lidded look. Carol would tell me that's an opportunity worth exploring. Garrett's townhouse is two stories tall, with a white stucco exterior, a stoop instead of a porch, and a front lawn that's surprisingly tidy. Despite my reluctance, I force myself to get out of the car and walk to the door. Rock music blares inside the house. A part of me hopes that nobody hears me ring the bell, but muffled footsteps echo behind the door, and then it swings open, and I find myself looking at a tall guy with spiky blonde hair and a chiseled face right off the cover of GQ.
Why, hello there, he drawls as he looks me up and down. My birthday's not until next week, but if this is an early B-Day gift, I sure ain't complaining, baby doll.
Of course. I should have known Garrett would be rooming with someone as obnoxious as he is. I curl my fingers over the strap of my oversized messenger bag, wondering if I can make it back to my car before Garrett knows I'm here, but my dastardly plan is foiled when he appears in the doorway. He's barefoot, clad in faded jeans and a threadbare gray t-shirt, and his hair is damp as if he's just come out of the shower.
Hey, Wellesley, he says breezily. You're late.
I said 8:15. It's 8:15.
I stare coldly at Mr. GQ.
And if you were implying that I was a hooker, then call me insulted.
You thought she was a hooker?
Garrett turns to glare at his friend.
That's my tutor, bro. Show some respect.
I didn't think she was a hooker. I thought she was a stripper.
The blonde retorts as if that makes it better.
She's wearing a costume, for fuck's sake.
He does have a point. My waitress uniform isn't exactly subtle.
P.S. I want a stripper for my birthday,
GQ announces.
Just decided now. Get on it.
I'll make a couple calls, Garrett promises, but the second his friend wanders off, he confides, he's not getting a stripper. We all chipped in to get him a new iPod. He dropped his in the koi pond behind Hartford House. When I snicker, Garrett pounces like a mountain lion. Holy shit, was that a laugh? I didn't think you were capable of showing amusement. Can you do it again and let me film it?
I laugh all the time.
I pause. Mostly at you, though. He grabs his chest in mock pain as if I've shot him. You're terrible for a guy's ego, you know that? I roll my eyes and shut the door behind me. Let's go up to my room, he says. Shit. He wants to study in his bedroom? While I'm sure that's probably a wet dream for every girl at this school, I'm apprehensive about being alone with him.
Gee, is that the tutor?
A male voice shouts as we pass what I deduce is the living room. Hey, tutor, get in here. We need to have a little chat. My alarmed gaze flies to Garrett, but he just grins and guides me to the doorway. The living room just screams bachelor pad with its two leather couches set up in an L shape, a complicated-looking entertainment system, and a coffee table littered with beer bottles. A dark-haired guy with vivid blue eyes rises from the couch. He's as handsome as Garrett in GQ, and from the way his long body saunters my way, he's fully aware of his appeal.
So listen, Blue Eyes announces in a stern voice. My boy needs to ace this test. You better make that happen.
My lips twitch. Or what?
Or I'll be very, very upset.
His sultry gaze does a slow and deliberate sweep of my body, lingering on my chest before traveling back up.
You don't want to upset me, do you, gorgeous?
Garrett snorts.
Don't waste your time, man. She's immune to flirting. Trust me, I've tried.
He turns to me.
This is Logan. Logan Wellesley.
Hannah, I correct. Logan thinks it over before shaking his head.
Nah, I like Wellesley.
You met Dean in the hall, and that's Tucker, Garrett adds, pointing to the auburn-haired guy on the couch who, surprise, surprise, is as good-looking as the rest of them. I wonder if sexy as fuck is a requirement for living in this house. Not that I'd ever ask Garrett. His ego is big enough as it is.
Sup, Wellesley,
Tucker calls out. I smother a sigh. Wonderful. I guess I'm Wellesley now.
Wellesley is the star of the Christmas recital, Garrett tells his friends.
Winter showcase, I grumble.
Isn't that what I said?
He waves a dismissive hand.
Okay, let's do this shit. Later, boys.
I follow Garrett up the narrow staircase to the second floor. His room is at the end of the hall, and from the sheer size of it and the private bath, it must be the master bedroom. You mind if I change out of this uniform? I ask awkwardly. I've got my street clothes in my bag. He flops on the edge of the monstrous bed and leans back on his elbows.
Go right ahead. I'll sit here and enjoy the show.
I clench my teeth. I meant in the washroom.
That's no fun.
Nothing about this is fun, I mutter. The bathroom is a lot cleaner than I expect, and the faint traces of woodsy aftershave hang in the air. I quickly change into yoga pants and a black sweater, tie my hair into a ponytail, and shove my uniform in my bag. Garrett is still on the bed when I return. He's engrossed with his phone, doesn't even glance up when I dump an armful of books on his bed.
To quote your annoying self, are you ready to do this shit? I say sarcastically.
He speaks in an absent-minded tone.
Yeah, one sec.
His long fingers tap out a message, and then he drops the phone on the mattress.
Sorry, I'm paying attention now.
My seating options are limited. There's a desk under the window, but only one chair.